持续更新中的教会。李定武牧师主讲第三讲，投入息息不断的门训。今天的经文记载在马太福音28章18到20节。耶稣近前来对他们说，天上地下所有的权柄都赐给我了，所以你们要去使万民做我的门徒，奉父子圣灵的名给他们施洗，凡我所吩咐你们的都教训他们遵守，我就常与你们同在，直到世界的末了。经文读毕。
Well, good afternoon. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Let me read that. It was he means Jesus Christ. It was he who gave some to the apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up, Ephesians 4:11-12. Let's turn to 2 Timothy, just one verse, chapter 2, verse 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you are an awesome God. Before the mountains were born, before you created heaven and earth, from generations to generations, you have been our God. This afternoon, as we come to worship you, to study your words, and to preach your words, we just pray, Father, that may the word of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be acceptable unto you, O our Rock, our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The need of the hour is to engage in disciple-making ministry, especially your church, because I learned that pretty soon, hopefully, in a few months, you're going to dedicate your new building. As the church building grows, more and more people are going to be attracted, going to be invited to come to this church. As the church grows in quantity, it is vital importance that the church also grow qualitatively. Christians need to seek deeper life. Quality should always precede quantity. Before our Lord ascended to heaven and before those 11 disciples, Matthew recorded what Jesus said. That was in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 19. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." And today's message, perhaps we can just summarize with one sentence. Disciple making is at the center of the Great Commission. And every church and every Christian should engage in disciple-making ministry. Today, as we look at this passage, this important passage in New Testament, the Great Commission, I would like to look from three angles. And firstly, look the angle that why do we engage in discipleship ministry? And secondly, looking from the angle of what is discipleship making ministry. And thirdly, looking from the angle, but not least, is how you and I are going to engage in discipleship making ministry. Let's first take a look at this first W. That is, why do we engage in discipleship ministry? Verse 16. Matthew recorded, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go." 11 disciples before Jesus ascended to heaven. What did Jesus have? Jesus didn't have a church. Jesus didn't even own a donkey. Jesus didn't even have a place to stay. What did Jesus have? Jesus only have 11 disciples. 11 is not a complete number. 12 is a complete number. Jesus had 12 minus 1 disciples. Nowadays in every church, we always need one more, one extra co-workers. Always need one more. So therefore, you cannot find any church that we got enough co-workers. We have 12. Co-workers. No, always 12 minus 1, missing 1. So therefore, discipleship ministry is important, important in the sense that Jesus' ministry is discipleship-making ministry. I can look from 2 points to prove that. And firstly, and Jesus' ministry is discipleship-making ministry in the sense that he used that to train his workers. I just said Jesus only had 11 disciples in front of him. 11 disciples. What is the need of this hour? Well, the answer is that depends to whom you are talking about. If a man is sick, is hospitalized, and then the need of the hour is a doctor. And if there is a beggar, and the need of the hour is to have enough money to buy a hamburger, and if there is a church, and you might need a bigger building, larger parking lot, if there is a gospel broadcasting company, parish church company, organization, the need of the hour is to have more equipment. All these are good, but what is the need of the hour? For Jesus, the need of the hour is people. He had 11 people in front of him. Not just people. They are disciples. Matthew called them disciples. Jesus had 11 disciples. Not only disciples. Jesus had 11 disciple-making disciples. So, the time Apostle Paul died, that's about 67 or 68 A.D. 11 disciples conquered the Roman world. That is because Jesus used discipleship training to train his co-workers. The need of the hour is people. The need of the hour is disciples. The need of the hour is disciple-making disciples. And then, not only Jesus used that to train his workers, Jesus used this ministry to reach his world. That is the Great Commission. 11 people, I just said, conquered the Roman world. His goal, Jesus' goal, is to make disciples of all nations. The Great Commission mentioned that, making disciples of all nations. Matthew 28, verse 19. Making disciples. What is the goal of Great Commission? Well, if you ask this question to someone, and it's a good question. It's a good test whether this person has discipleship in mind or not. There are only 4 verbs between 18 to 20. 4 verbs. And the first one is go, the second one is baptize, and the third one is teaching. And also there's another one is disciple making. Which one is the real verb? And there are three verbs. They change, become the participles to modify that main verb. If you can find the main verb and the real verb, and then you've got the goal of the Great Commission. You don't have to look the Greek text. I looked that up also. There's only one word that is verb, and the rest, the three others, they are participles. That is the making disciples. Therefore, that other three participles, the goal, baptizing, teaching, all modify this main verb, making disciples. How to make disciples? You have to go and to share gospels, to do soul winning. And how to make disciples? You have to baptize this person that he or she just got saved. How to make disciples? Not only just to win his or her soul, not only just to baptize this person, but also what? To teach him or teach her all things that Jesus has commanded you and I to do. So therefore, the main verb or the goal of the Great Commission is disciple making. Yes, that's Jesus Christ's goal. And then also Jesus Christ used the disciple making to equip his follower. And we have this verb. I just read the verse Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. NIV used the word to prepare. I like better the translation from NASB or King James Version, use equipped, much closer to the original language. To equip. Jesus used discipleship to equip his followers. We have here equipped, Ephesians 4:12. There was a missionary, and he was also a theologian. He wrote an article mentioning this word equip, and we can look from the New Testament, we can essentially look different passages of the Bible, and that will give you four pictures of this word equip. For instance, he used Mark 1:9 and mentioned about those fishermen mending nets before fishing. Mending is the word equivalent to equip. And in order to catch fish, you have to first to mend the net. Mend the net. That's the picture. The fishermen sitting down there mending their nets because they are going to go fishing. And they don't want to lose any fish they caught. And then the second picture is on Galatians chapter 6 verse 1. And here it used the word restore. And restore broken booms. Restore broken relationship. And here in the church, and there's a Christian that he fell down and she fell down. And then we have to restore this particular person and before his relation or her relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Restore is the word. Restore relationship. Restore broken bones. And then the third picture, I like it very much, is on 2 Timothy 3:17. And this picture also used the word equip. And this scholar mentions, this missionary mentioned, and here is a picture that a ship going to go afar, very far place. And before the ship can start shipping, and then you have to load a lot of food, a lot of equipment, and a lot of fuels, so that the ship will go far away. Loading the ship, prepare yourself, equip yourself, mending the broken relationship, mending the broken bonds. And that is the word that Apostle Paul used to equip the saints in order to be able to work and to offer his service to our Lord Jesus Christ. Disciple-making ministry is Jesus Christ's ministry. And then disciple-making ministry should be your ministry. Because among you, you have broken relationships. Among you, you have people and fall down. Among you, you have people want to go a far away distance and he or she is not equipped. It's not loaded with the Word of God. and the character is not fit, or character is not good enough and to serve. And therefore, you need discipleship ministries. So you and your spouse and your cell group and your fellowship group and your church needs especially this disciple-making ministries. Let's go to the second point. That is the reason that we need to engage, and that is why we need to engage in disciple-making ministry. And then, the second point is, what is disciple-making ministry? And this is an important part, because if you ask people, ask 10 Christians, don't ask 10 Christians, ask 10 pastors, they will give 10 different answers about disciple-making ministries. Some people, some pastor would answer that, yes, we do have disciple-making ministry. We have adult Sunday school. That is discipleship ministry. No, that's not. That's not. And some pastor would answer, yes, we do short-term mission. We go to mission field to train those people. That's not disciple-making. That's only one part of that. And some said, we even go to a camp. We have 2 weeks and even 3 weeks and even 4 weeks in concentrated intensive training. No, that's not disciple-making ministry. What is disciple-making ministry? Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. The resurrected Jesus Christ, speaking to his 11 disciples, and this time he was in Jerusalem. But he said, Matthew recorded, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee. Why Galilee? Why not in Jerusalem? Went to Galilee to meet the resurrected Jesus Christ. Why they have to walk day and night for maybe a couple of days or 3 days? Why? Because they've been trained in Galilee. All those disciples have been trained in Galilee. So therefore Jesus reminded them, let's meet in Galilee, the place I train you guys. Now you guys going to take over. And you guys going to pass the platoon. And you guys going to do the ministry I taught you before in Galilee. And then also Matthew recorded, went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus has told them to go. To the mountain, why not on the plain? Well, mountain represents spiritual higher ground. You need to be equipped. You need disciple-making ministries so that you will be no longer on the plain. And you will be on the mountain, higher levels, much closer to God. Remember, the prophet Ezekiel had a vision. He saw that the Lord lifting up, and he saw on the plain all those dry bones. Yes, all in the plain, all those dry bones. The Israelites, they are not, they don't live in the plain. They live on the mountain. Israelites, they are mountaineers. They shouldn't be on the plain. Where they've been, carried to Babylon. It's plain. It's plain. And they got corrupted. And they did sinful and evil things just like the Gentiles. So they died there. They died on the plain. The Lord wants us to be on the higher ground. I love that hymn, Higher Ground. Higher ground. There was a hymn, higher ground. You and I should seek deeper life. How do we seek deeper life? Through disciple-making ministries. Mountain. And then, again, the last few words about the verse 16. Where Jesus had told them to go. Told them, Jesus had told them. In other words, Jesus had an appointment with them. Before Jesus died, Jesus said, we're going to meet in Galilee, on the mountaintop in Galilee. And Jesus had an appointment. And those disciples kept the appointment. In other words, they committed themselves to go that far, 2 and 3 days walking distance, go all the way from Jerusalem to Galilee in order to meet the resurrected Jesus Christ. That's discipleship. What is discipleship making ministry? That is disciple making ministries. In other words, you have commitment and you've been taught and you've been trained, you've been shaped. Your character being shaped by Jesus Christ. And your thinking and your character like our Jesus Christ. Holiness. What is discipleship making ministry? Well, firstly, let's discuss from the negative point of view that disciples are not born but made. Disciples are not born. You don't find any disciples they born to be a disciple. You have to make disciples. Disciples are not to be made in the classroom. Sunday school alone cannot turn a person to be a disciple. And then disciples are not made on dinner tables. You have fellowship on dinner tables and you always go out to a restaurant to have dianxin. And that's, yes, that's good. That's improved relationship. But disciple making cannot be made on the dinner table. Disciples are not made at a retreat center. Only 1 week, 2 weeks, or even 2 months cannot shape a disciple. Disciple has to live in a real world to be shaped by Jesus Christ, by the Word of God, and by the Holy Spirit, and not even made at seminaries. Disciples are made, not born. Secondly, disciples are made through a combination of trainings, at least 7 of them. Combine, not single one can do the job, but combine all those 7 and become a program or become the basic training of a disciple. Firstly, study the Word of God. And secondly, discipline of prayers. And thirdly, you have to live in a spirit-controlled life. Fourthly, you have to have servanthood. And fifthly, you have to go through character building. And the 6th, leadership training. And the 7th, spiritual reproduction. In other words, you yourself not only being a disciple, you have to be a disciple-making disciple. A combination of all those 7 is what we call discipleship training. So disciples are made, not born. Disciples are made through a combination of training. Must involve Bible, must involve the working of the Holy Spirit, and must involve the character training, must involve and the practice of your belief, and so forth. And then, thirdly, disciples are made through relationships. That's very important. I just mentioned disciples are not made on a dinner table, but dinner table certainly is important. Because that can build relationship. If you ask a realtor, what are the 3 criteria to buy a house? And we all know that the location, 2nd location, and 3rd location. If you ask me, what are the 3 criteria to build up a disciple? And relationship. What are those relationships? And the first relationship is the relationship between you and the person you're going to disciple. You have to have built up that relationship in order to teach, in order to rebuke, in order to encourage, in order to establish trust between the two. Relationship. So in the 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Apostle Paul said, imitating me, just like the way I imitate Christ. That's a very important statement. Imitating me, just like the way I imitate Christ. The first relationship between the disciple and the disciple. And the second relationship is relationship with Jesus Christ. If the disciple and doesn't maintain a good relationship with Jesus Christ, in other words, If you listen to that statement of Apostle Paul said, imitating me, if Apostle Paul just stop here, he's full of pride. Imitating me, who are you? You are not God. But Apostle Paul didn't stop there, right? This is second phrase. Imitating me, just like the way I imitate Christ. Using the language of realtor and contract language, the second phrase is the contingency phrase. In other words, if you sign a contract to buy a house, and there's always a contingency built in there. In other words, if I lose my job and if I cannot get the mortgage, then the contract is void, right? So that contingency is very important. So here, there is a contingency that Apostle Paul built in here. Imitate me just like the way I imitate Christ. If Apostle Paul said to church in Corinthians, if I don't imitate Jesus Christ, then stop. Imitate me. So the second relationship is between the discipler and Jesus Christ. And there's always the third relationship. And there's a private church organization that's famous about discipleship training. And years ago, I think at least 60-some years that the organization was founded. And in the past, the early 40 years, the pastors didn't like at all that ministry. And because of what? Because of the third thing, the third criterion, third relationship. What is the third relationship, guys? What is the third relationship? What is the third relationship? It's the relationship between the discipler and the church. If the discipler doesn't have a good relationship with the church, do not imitate me. Because church is so important in Jesus Christ's eyes, because he is the head of the church. So the third relationship is relationship with the church, with the church. Brothers and sisters, there are three relationships. Relationship with Jesus Christ, relationship with the disciple, and relationship with your church. Disciples are made through relationships. Through relationships that I can establish contact, I can exchange. And the stuff deep in my heart with the one I disciple. And through relationship that I can rebuke him, I can encourage him, I can establish a deeper relationship, deeper friendship with this person. I can have accountability with each other, and I even can lead him into a service that he becomes co-workers of mine, prayer partner of mine, my accountability person. That is discipleship, disciple-making ministry. Let's go to the third one. Then how do we engage in disciple-making ministry? Let's look from, again, on the text, between 18 to 20. Verse 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority, and some other mention, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything, and some other version translated, all things I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Well, let's take a look. How do we engage in disciple-making ministry? And firstly is the fulfillment of the Great Commission counts on your participation. Your participation is important, is needed in order that the Great Commission can be fulfilled. Think about it. And this is important. You are important. Otherwise, we have a broken link of the chain. you need to participate in the disciple-making ministry because that is a chain to drive the power from the engine so that the Great Commission can be realized. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ, in a sense, using the Great Commission to invite you that co-work with me. During World War II, the U.S. government think of a slogan that helped quite a bit. And to personify the government and to be Uncle Sam. So there's always, every corner you will find the big poster, even in the subway, on the train, that Uncle Sam wants you. In other words, God wants you. God wants to co-work with you in order the Great Commission can be fulfilled. Great Commission is fulfilled and then our Lord Jesus Christ can come back again. And then all those who believe Jesus Christ either died or still living can be caught up on the air. And they're going to change. They're going to be changed to have a new body. And that body is going to be suitable for eternal living with our Lord Jesus Christ. What a hope. And we would like Jesus to come early, right? Do you like Jesus to come early? Do you? If you like Jesus to come early, then Uncle Sam, no. Our Lord Jesus Christ wants you. Jesus wants you to be co-workers, to participate in that big chain, to drive that engine so that Jesus can come back quickly. Well, there are three major elements of the Great Commission. Three major elements of Great Commission. And firstly, resource. And the resource is coming from Jesus Christ because Jesus said in the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, and Jesus said, all power, in heaven and earth has been given to me. And then Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. And then the end of the Great Commission, and Jesus said, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Beginning of the Great Commission mentioned about all authority, all power. And the end of the Great Commission, that verse 20 mentioned that I will be with you always. All authority, all power, always. That means the power belongs to Jesus Christ. If you engage in the disciple-making ministry, and that power does not come from you, you have no excuse to say, I know nothing. And how can I disciple others? And you don't have to say that, because the power does not come from you. Come from our Lord Jesus Christ. All power. And I will be with you always. Resource comes from Jesus Christ. And then second important, I already mentioned that objective of Great Commission is disciple making, because he mentioned about and make disciples of all nations, not just the United States, not just Taiwan, not just Hong Kong. It's all nations. And not only all nations, and Jesus, our Lord said, teaching them to obey everything or all things. The objective coming from discipleship making, verse 19. All nations, all things. And then thirdly, not only just resource coming from our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only just the objective is disciple making all nations and all things, teach all things Jesus taught us. And then lastly, and the most important, Jesus, Great Commission is a command. It's a command because making disciples of all nations. And that word making is imperative mode in the original language. That means it is a command. You know something? For some things, Christians need not to pray. Well, you might mention to someone, Reverend Lee even mentioned to us today that Christian doesn't have to pray for some particular sins. Yes, All those commands in the Bible, if they are commands, you don't need to pray because it is a command. If your parents ask you to take garbage out, you cannot tell my mother, tell your mother or your father, let me pray about it. No, you need not to pray. Pray. Just go and get it done. The same thing when Jesus said, making disciples, it is a command. Therefore, you and I, we don't need to pray. Let's pray about it. No. The only response you need to do is to respond ability. Responsibility is the respond ability. The ability, not yours. Because the resource coming from Jesus Christ. Respond ability of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whose responsibility to engage in disciple making ministry? Yes. You will say, it's church's responsibility. Whose responsibility to engage in ministry, you will say, is pastor's responsibility, Pastor Zhang's responsibility, is Derek's responsibility, is Wendy's responsibility. No. You will make excuses, it's elder's responsibility, it's co-worker's responsibility. No. It is my response to his ability, because it is that making disciple is in the original language is imperative mode. The fulfillment of the Great Commission counts on your participation. And then also secondly, the power of multiplication facilitates your involvement. That when you do discipleship training, and you will notice that we engage in a so-called spiritual mathematics. Have you heard about spiritual mathematics? No. Spiritual mathematics is discipleship ministry involve a principle, important principle called spiritual mathematics. That is the power of multiplication. Well, let me give an example of basic mathematics. If you use plus, and if tomorrow I'm going to engage in discipleship ministry, I'm going to train two gentlemen. And for 8 months, two. I'm going to produce two. And after 8 months, each one of them going to also produce two. And then what happened? I use a plus. 2 + 2 + 2 + 2 equal to 8. But if you use discipleship using the way that is using the principle of multiplication, and then two, the first start with two, and then each one disciple two. So therefore, the second generation going to be 2 × 2, and then the third generation going to be 2 × 2 × 2, and then the fourth generation going to be 2 × 2 × 2 × 2. In other words, it's 2^4. If you use addition, for 4 generations, you only wind up with 8. If you use multiplications for 4 generations, you wind up with 30. 30 verse 8. That is the power of multiplication. And this is what happened. The Apostle Paul mentioned to Timothy. And I read it a while ago, and let me read that again. And 2 Timothy 2:2 is an important verse in discipleship training. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Let me repeat again. And the things you means who? Timothy. Paul was writing to Timothy. Have heard me, who was the writer? Apostle Paul. And say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men, and some other translation called entrust to faithful men. That is the third generation. I, Apostle Paul, train you, Timothy. And you're going to train who? You're going to train reliable or faithful men. And then fourth generation is others. four generations in one family. That is the typical way of training for the discipleship training. Brothers and sisters, when we engage in discipleship training, we know the why, we know the what, and we know the how. And I pray, it is my prayer that your church and members of your church are going to engage in discipleship training. Engaging disciple training is interesting, is rewarding. And there was a church planner, an old pastor called Raymond Outland. He said, "The great danger most church face is not that they don't do anything. They do plenty. It is that they do not do the right thing." Brothers and sisters, do the right thing. Don't do too many things. Do the right thing, because disciple making ministry is Christ's ministry. Disciple making is at the center of Great Commission, and every church or every Christian should engage in it. Just do it, brothers and sisters. You remember the slogan of Nike, "Just do it." Last time I was in your midst, I preached the message, "Just do it." You know the word Nike? And I don't know whether the owner is a Christian or not, but he sure knows Greek. You know that word Nike? Nike means the victory, the overcomer. In Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 2 has a verse about this Nike. And read the Revelation chapter 2 verse 7, the overcomer. In the original language is Nakio. Be a Nakio, the overcomer. Engage in discipleship ministry, and you'll be promised by Jesus Christ in Revelation 2:7, that he will give you the tree of life and he will bless you. He will give you the abundant life. Your ministry is going to be fruitful. Your church is going to be fruitful. So brothers and sisters, let's engage in disciple-making ministry. And let's pray. Our Lord, our God, that thank you for giving us the Great Commission. Thank you for your Spirit, that with your Spirit and with the Word of God, and we being able to use the discipleship training ministry to make the Great Commission a reality. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.